He's got the knowledge.
Because once again, I have to come on air and talk about how right I am once again in anything that it comes to sports.
He's got the questions.
I'm going to lose it. Are you kidding me? What are we doing here?
He's got the guests.
20th head coach in Fresno State history here, man. Is it hard to believe sometimes still the 20th head coach here in program history?
It's all moved really quickly here over the course of the last 5-6 weeks. But super excited to be here.
Phil Bonatti is the voice for the Central Valley sports leader. Behind the Bench starts now. Brought to you by Helena Agri.
That's right. Behind the Bench here on 1430 ESPN Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader here on this Friday, January 9th. Good to have you along. Good to be here. Good to be talking sports for the next hour. I feel like this hour is going to go by so quickly before we send it off to Atlanta for the Indiana-Oregon college football playoff semifinals. So without further ado, without any hesitation, let's just get through it right now. Of course, you're listening to us live on 1430ESPNFresno.com. You can follow us also on our ESPN Fresno app, and you can watch us live on the Facebook, Twitch, and YouTube streams. ESPN Fresno is what you search when you're looking for that as well. Big thanks, Tony D, of course, in the previous hour. And if you want to get involved in today's show, Lee's Air Hotline, sponsored by Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing, is the way to get a hold of us. 559-320-1430, the way to get a hold of our show. 559-320-1430, the way to get a hold of us. Lee's Air weather check sitting at 56 degrees on the dot. And feels like 61 because of that nice sunlight that we're getting here. I'm feeling it on my leg already. But relatively same temperatures throughout the next 10 days or so. A little cloud here, a little sun here, and some 50s along the way. Jorge's here in producing for us. Jorge, how are you doing on this Friday? Got a good Friday feeling with 1 hour of our show today. How are you feeling?
I'm doing good.
Yeah?
Yeah, I think that it's been a good day today. I feel like I'm a little low.
You are a little low.
There you go. Yeah, I feel like it's a good Friday.
Yeah?
It's a good Friday feeling.
Well, of course, it's a Friday feeling. We got a big football game tonight that we're anticipating. I'm going to head over and watch it with some friends tonight. I have some Raider fans in my life that are very interested in this football game tonight. Imagine Raider listeners who are here are very interested in this game tonight between Dante Moore and Fernando Mendoza. I wish we had the song Fernando by ABBA ready to rip and roll here on this show.
Yeah.
You know, but how about last night's game? Of course, what a remarkable one in that with Miami and Ole Miss. Jorge, were you locked in on the game last night?
Yeah, I watched the second half.
Yeah?
I wasn't able to watch the first half, but the second half, I started watching it. And right away, I texted one of my friends saying, this is one of those games that you're like an instant classic.
Yeah.
The back and forth. You know, defenses are doing great things, but also making mistakes. Miami seemed like
they just kind of let them hung around.
Or yeah, like they couldn't, like they had control the entire game.
Yeah,
but every time they you know, were about to shut them down, they made a mistake.
There was a pick in the red zone, right, from Carson Beck. He was slowing it. There was a missed kick. In terms of that, there were some crucial penalties.
Penalty that was really crucial that.
A targeting call that knocked out one of the DBs for Miami, who I believe now that was in the second half, so he's ineligible for the first half of the national championship. Go figure. So that'll be interesting to see how that'll play out. I'm sure they'll appeal it. Who knows if that'll be overturned. Remarkable game last night in every sense of the word, and it's what you want. It's what you want when you watch college football in terms of the storylines, in terms of the teams, and boy, Miami, a 10 seed, who barely people almost thought they shouldn't have been in, now are the people's choice, I would imagine, to win it all in terms of that. And I think we're going to get, and I'm going to get right to it, I believe Indiana will win tonight. Jorge, do you feel like Indiana has it over Oregon? I firmly believe so. I think this is actually going to be the less close game of the day, of the weekend. It will not be as close as last night's game, but what make you?
Well, I think it's going to be closer. I think honestly, because they already face each other.
Yeah.
And that was a 10-point game?
10-point game, 30 to 20, Indiana won.
I don't know if you know, Indiana has anything more than what they showed that day, and I feel like Oregon has much more to prove.
Yeah, I'm just looking at Cignetti, who's, by the way, he is just stonewalled, stone-faced, just ready to rock and roll, man. It's hard for me to bet against him right now in terms of the way team rolling in terms of it. So there you go. You can listen to that game coming up at 4 o'clock right here on our airwaves, 1430, starting there. Big news, top sports story brought to you by Valley Pure. I want to get to this real quick. And then we have in this hour, by the way, J.B. Long's going to join us, a voice of the Rams. He's going to join us in about 10 minutes or so. So we'll have that conversation with J.B. to preview tomorrow's Rams game against Carolina. Christian Martin. This is a name Fresno State fans will need to get used to here. Broken the news by Pete Nakos, who I believe is a college football insider on the On3 Sports Network there. Reporting the news that Maryland quarterback Christian Martin has signed with Fresno State, and the Fresno State quarterback room just got a little more deeper in terms of what they've got. And I think this is a move to at least bridge the gap, I would imagine, between the talent, between the age, and it allows Entz to have options here going into next season. I don't automatically imagine that that Christian Martin is a guy who is automatically going to win the starting job, but here's a qualifier for you in terms of this. He's 6'4". He looks good, at least in terms of the tangibles. We've seen, I've been watching some video of him. You've been watching some video of him, Jorge. And I got to imagine if people Google Christian Martin, Christian with a K, by the way, they're going to feel a little excited about the prospect of what kind of quarterback he can be for this Bulldog side.
He looks good. First, he hasn't officially announced it, but I feel like if, you know, everybody's doing it, I think it's pretty official.
Cat's out of the bag, Jorge, I would imagine, in terms of that.
Yeah. Honestly, I think he's got pretty good talent. It's just, you know, seeing what he does on the field.
Yeah. It's going to be very interesting to see where that takes, you know, how it's going to take part in terms of it. If you're going to do the natural college football progression thing, the best case scenario for the Bulldogs is this guy balls out as a starting quarterback. And then you would imagine when you ball out at this university, people will come calling to him to see where he would go next. You see him transfer. I wouldn't hate it. That's how it could be. And then you get one of those freshmen that are going to be battling it in who will then be sophomores in 2027. That would be the natural progression of how I would imagine that timeline would go if we live in a perfect world. Of course, Christian Martin has to win the job in the spring if that has to be what has to happen. There's also reports out there the Bulldogs have signed a corner out of Nebraska, Preston Okafor, who is a 6'2 cornerback. Out there as well. So another group of four talent coming to the Bulldogs here. I think it's going to be very fascinating to see how this roster is being built. But that's another nice piece to shore up a position group that I know the Bulldogs, we've had questions about in terms of the cornerback position, in terms of the secondary position. We know Simeon Harris was there in terms of his return, and that was a big piece to add to it. But now, without Azealian Hamilton and Jakari Embry, Preston Okafor, now a name that people are going to get used to here, that reported on Twitter as well. Looks like Al Scott had that there. So shout out to Al, who may be listening or not. In terms of it, so we're paying attention. We're reading the tea leaves. We're seeing where the things are addressed. Of course, there's, what, three more days of the transfer portal left here. So we're going to find out exactly what this roster will look like once we hit that transfer portal window closing in terms of that. When does that transfer portal close? Looking at now in terms of the window. Excuse me, I had the wrong date. The 16th, January 16th. So we're still a week away. We're still a week away from this transfer portal wrapping up. So many more moves could be on the docket in terms of that for the Bulldogs moving forward. But very excited to see how that'll all play out moving forward in terms of it. So anyways, got a very exciting show for you. Like I said, we're going to be really getting into some good stuff here moving forward. We're going to talk to JB Long, like I said, voice of the Rams, here in the next 5 minutes or so. So you don't want to go anywhere for that. He's got great insight. It's been too long since we've had him on the air, so we're looking forward to that. And, of course, I got a really fun game for Jorge and I to play to close out this this show. And we did it last year with Asa. We're going to do it today with Jorge. Jorge and I are going to draft the teams in the playoffs, in the NFL playoffs, and we're going to see who ends up with the Super Bowl champ at the end of the postseason. Pretty simple. We each get 7 teams to pick. We go back and forth and see who is more intelligent than the others in terms of drafting. Who's savvy in terms of their draft? This is going to be an interesting playoff pool to pick. I don't even know who would be the number one overall pick in this playoffs. So that's going to make things very interesting moving forward. All right, Jorge, we're going to take an early break because I want to make sure we get in time here with JB here. So let's take a break. And when we come back, we're going to have JB Long, voice of the Rams, here next on 1430 ESPN Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader. All right, welcome back to Behind the Bench here on 1430 ESPN, Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader. Quick show, like we said today, we're taking all the way to Atlanta for the college football semifinal. But before we send it off, it's good to get a guest in here on this 1 hour of our show. And, of course, it's great to have JB Long back on the airwaves here with us, Lee's Air Hotline, joining us now. JB, voice of the Rams, good to have you here, man. It's been a while, but it's good to be talking playoff Ram football here with you.
Phil, hope you're having a great Friday show. Thank you, as always, for the invitation.
Absolutely, and it's exciting times. I know this is I would beg to say I think the Ram fans not exactly wishing they were here in this 5 position in the playoffs. It felt like it was careening to a 1 seed. This team was ready to roll in, but obviously some injuries and situations and a ball off a helmet and some crazy bounces puts them here in this position now. But they're here, and the challenge is the Carolina Panthers, which is tomorrow at 1:30 Pacific time. And JB, you know, catch me up a little bit. You know, we've been thinking about how good this Rams team has been all season, but the stretch down the last few weeks. How do you characterize the way the Rams have kind of battled through this stretch?
You know, I think they've been good enough to win every single game. They've put forth, I would say, 16 worthy efforts out of 17 games, with the exception being the Monday Night Football loss in Atlanta. I think they've been the best offense in the National Football League in consensus fashion. And then defensively, I think they put together half a season, but they've been undermined by the absence of Quentin Lake. And his return this week is going to be massive for whatever happens tomorrow and hopefully well beyond. He's kind of the Jenga piece on defense. So I think they are deservedly a contender. They've done well to put themselves in the dance. Surely they would have liked to have been watching with their heels up and awaiting a home game next weekend had things played out differently, but that's okay. If anyone is capable of winning a championship as a 5 seed, I believe it's the 2025 Los Angeles Rams.
Yeah, it's interesting, you know, how this things turn and things go differently with this group and a few couple plays down the stretch, like you say. But, you know, last I saw the Rams, we were walking off the field against Detroit, and I thought, man, this team can stop the run now. They can make things work on offensive, even without Devontae for a little bit of period of time. I know he went out with the injury, but you know, things go differently in a couple of games, and of course now they're on the road. But when you think about the idea of Devontae coming back in this game, which is, I think, the big highlight for the for this Rams side, Freudian slip there a little bit. You know, and we'll talk about Quentin Lake's return as well. But I want to specifically go into Devontae. how much does that change for this Rams team, who faces a Panthers team that they did face Puka and Devontae in the last game before that, but how much does it change for this offense who probably desperately wanted him back?
Yeah, I think it changes everything. Third down and red zone specifically, their touchdown conversion rate has fallen by about 20% in the three games that Devontae was absent for. How about the fact that he's only the second player in league history to lead the league in receiving touchdowns despite missing at least three games? Jerry Rice did it once. He's now led the league in receiving touchdowns three times. I think he's cemented his Hall of Fame case. He's been everything that the Rams had hoped he would be when Sean McVay recruited him via text message in Japan way back last winter. And I think this has been exactly the right place for him to finish out his career as well. Now, I'll say this. Devontae, having been to the doorstep four times and lost all four NFC championship games, there's a school of thought where his season doesn't really start until the Rams get to that NFC championship game, because he's a Ram not to pay taxes in California again, but to get a Lombardi trophy.
Yeah. Like
that's where he's at in his career. So I think his presence really matters. It's no coincidence that Puka Nacua had a career year as his running mate. So, yeah, having him back is definitely the goal. It's why he didn't play those last three games, even though if he had pressed it, he probably could have played last week, if not the week before.
You're only as good as your last game. So when you think of what the Rams kind of did in that game against the Cardinals, which, you know, Sean McVay was putting in the starters, making them play throughout the whole game there. And I know at one point it got a little hairy with the Cardinals kind of finding ways to get in that lead, that 2016 lead. They had a big shot down the stretch, but then that got pulled back from a penalty. But then the Rams were able to kind of put the pedal to the gas. You know, what does that performance tell you about how they're prepping into this playoff run and what they were trying to accomplish in that game against the Cardinals?
You know, not a whole lot, if I'm being honest. I think the most important thing is they came out largely intact health-wise. Mm-hmm. Maybe there's, you know, a good taste in their mouths or a little positive pep in their step having finished with the win. But I have so much confidence in this group and their ability to put together a game plan and execute within 3.5 hours. That win or lose last week, no matter the venue or the opponent, I think they would have had a fighting chance and maybe even been favored. Now, the value in last week's game is probably more individual. It got Puka to his marks. I think it fortified Matthew's MVP candidacy, and it got them this 5 seed, which when you go on the road to face a Carolina team that has a losing record as a double-digit favorite, like, that's got to be worth something. If you do have to play this weekend, the Rams could not have developed or influenced their circumstances better.
Mm-hmm.
That being said, Carolina is one of the 5 teams to have defeated them this year. So whether it's the Cardinals giving them a challenge with only 3 wins last week, or the Carolina Panthers being probably the worst playoff team in this year's 14-team field, none of that matters, because they're all pros, they're all getting checks, and they're all capable of winning in January.
Well, let me take you back to that game in Charlotte earlier this year. What went wrong for the Rams in that game that you can pinpoint that I'd imagine Sean McVay is going over this week for this team?
Yeah, I think I could boil it down to 3 things. Offensively, it was a 3-turnover performance for Matthew Stafford. You don't win many games when your quarterback turns it over 3 times, especially when you lose the turnover margin 3-0. Now, Stafford had thrown 28 consecutive touchdown passes without an interception before the first of those giveaways. So it was a pretty incredible stretch. And on Thanksgiving weekend, in the rain and the cold and riding the 6-game winning streak, I think at the time you kind of wrote that off as, hey, it was bound to happen. Right? You know, regression to the mean happens to the best. And then 2 things on defense. The explosive touchdowns on 3rd and 4th down. Carolina was incredible on the money downs. I don't know that I've ever seen anything like it.
Yeah.
They were 10 of 18 on 3rd and 4th down. 10 out of 18. And they scored 3 explosive touchdowns on either 3rd and long or 4th down. So you talk about a game that was decided, you know, on a razor's edge. That's the way that Bryce Young and the Panthers have to get by, because they're not the most explosive nor efficient. But what they did really well is they got 3-4 yards on 1st down, which allowed them to run it again on 2nd down, which allowed them to get into 3rd and short or 4th and manageable. And they just milked the clock. They shortened the game. They had, I think, about 35 minutes and change of time of possession. And if you want to derail the best offense in football, what better way to do it than to keep that Ferrari parked on the sideline?
Yeah, and that's the I'm looking at the defense, and I think that's just the give or take of when they face that Panthers offense. This feels like that's where the game is going to be kind of determined. You can believe that this offense can do what it needs to do. It's just a matter of, like you said, the money downs and the ability to get off the field in that way. Are there players you see that are progressing in a way in those from that game and into this game that you feel like there's been improvements? I specifically think how remarkable they were against the run against Detroit as a game I pinpoint to what they were doing there. I know Detroit kind of threw it all over them in the flip side, so I guess maybe it's a give or take on that. But is there any things you've taken that they can improve on from that defensive effort?
Yeah, I mean, I think this is why you paid Puna Ford, and he has paid off in spades in terms of that run stuffing early down efficiency on the nose. It's playoff time. Puna has to wreck shop. He has to derail that early down run game for the Carolina Panthers. This is why you extended Quentin Lake, right? Because he is the Jenga piece on your defense that puts everything right, not just throughout your secondary, but sets a firm edge in the running game. Can take away tight ends, can track down running backs on the check down game and the swing pass game. So those are two names that come to mind. Nate Landman at middle linebacker, I also think, has had a great season. And this is the type of moment where he, too, is going to have to play one of his best games to make sure that the Rams are playing again next week.
And in a game like this, where you have weather potentially a factor, you know, I hear potential lightning storms, some precip as well, potentially in the later portion of the game. I mean, you called a game last year where you had weather show up in the second half and be a factor. Do you anticipate the Rams planning out kind of the way that game could go in that direction? If there has to be a stoppage of any kind, do you feel like that potentially could go against the Rams in terms of a momentum shift of, you know, their offense is humming and then suddenly something happens that way? How do you think they prepare that way for the potential weather?
Yeah, I think generally any disruption favors the underdog, right? Anything that you can do to derail, an opponent's course of action or game plan maybe opens a window of opportunity. But what I like about the Rams, especially offensively this year, is they've got built-in margin for error. They can beat you lots of different ways. As much as maybe it's been highlighted that they've adopted this three tight end 13 personnel identity this season, they really didn't use it a ton against Carolina 40 days ago, and they moved the ball up and down the field in the cold, in the rain. It's gonna be warmer tomorrow than it was in November, significantly. So the other thing I'd point out is they can also run the rock. They had their best rushing day of the season against these Carolina Panthers. Every handoff got what it needed to get. Kyren had a nice day. Blake Corum had a career day. Because of the three Matthew Stafford turnovers, they didn't come away with the points that maybe would have exemplified just how efficient they were offensively. But on a down-to-down basis, they absolutely smoked the Carolina Panthers. And I think Carolina knows that, and I know Sean McVay knows that. It was as unperturbed by a loss as maybe I can recall the head coach in 9 years of covering his team. And I think he knows it's because, look, by and large, we won that game up and down the field. There's four or five snaps that we'd love to have back that decided it, and a lot of those were just individual physical mistakes that were not a reflection of our preparation, our game planning. It was just a matter of down-to-down execution.
How would you say, you know, you get the feeling, or every playoff run you go in with this team, you know, you know what the feeling like was when they eventually went on that Super Bowl run, and maybe you harken back to how the vibe of the team was around that. Do you take stock into how you're kind of sensing the way the players are carrying themselves going into another playoff run like this, whether it's different from last year to this year, or whether you try to kind of go back to the feeling you saw from 2021? How much do you take into stock of how you're seeing the players kind of interact and go throughout the week before the game?
Yeah, it's a really insightful question. And I think if I've learned anything, it's not to take anything out of it. Because each game and each journey is unique unto itself. To use that Super Bowl season as an example, everyone was crestfallen having lost to the San Francisco 49ers in the regular season finale and backed their way into a division championship. But they let the 49ers into that playoff field. Well, guess what? I'm not sure the Rams could go to Lambeau Field and beat the Packers that year, but you know who did? The San Francisco 49ers. Mm-hmm. And that's what set up the NFC Championship game at SoFi Stadium. So who knows what these next 3 weeks are going to bring, and who knows
what paths the Rams will need to take to get there. What I think is cool about the setup is, at least on paper, they've got the opportunity to right some wrongs. And what I mean by that is they're in Carolina, where they lost one of their five games. Next week, they could very easily be in Philadelphia or Seattle, where they lost two of their other games, right? So if there is a revenge tour shaping up, I think that'd be a very cool narrative. But none of that matters unless they play more fundamentally sound, cleaner, better executed football against a team that we know they're better than. But that doesn't mean that they get to play next weekend just because they got more wins than the Carolina Panthers in the regular season.
I will say the underrated, or maybe for you, you're properly relating, rating the concern that maybe I have about the special team unit. I know there was a change of staff throughout the season with that. I know there's been some big plays that have hurt the Rams, obviously, in situations with this unit. We were praising it last year with how improved, and now it's taken a step back this year. How concerned are you about that third element of the game throughout the playoffs when you know plays are going to be determined, some games potentially are going to be determined on that side of the ball?
Yeah, I would say very concerned, because when you look at what it's taken to defeat the Los Angeles Rams this season, two things stand out. Of the five losses, two of them have involved three turnover performances by Matthew Stafford. Now, if your MVP candidate turns it over three times in a game from this point forward, you're probably vacationing in Cancun next week. Okay? So let's just take that for what it is. Mm-hmm. In the other three losses, they had catastrophic errors in the kicking game. So, you know, if you're looking for the Achilles heel, if you're looking for the raw nerve, how does a Carolina upset a Los Angeles? It's with those ingredients. It's creating extra possessions. It's capitalizing on a kicking game miscue. Now, have the Rams improved dramatically, I think, in the kicking game? Yeah, for sure. Harrison Mevis has been a godsend as a place kicker. Jake McQuaid has settled things down as a long snapper. They're under new leadership there. So I think maybe they're past an inflection point where things are on the rise. But of the three units, offense, defense, and special teams, we all know where Rams fans hold their breath. And when it's there, it's when they're kicking off, punting, or setting up for a field goal.
Yeah. Let's go to the positive real quick with Stafford. I haven't talked to you really about this season, but just the remarkable season he's had at the age that he has had. I know you're banging the drum on MVP season with him, you know, because you're watching it every day, and the way he's been able to really continually build this offense, the way this team has been able to roll and just be a leader, a steady leader with this group. And even if you think of the context of all the crazy potential like concerns around a back injury in the early part of the preseason and stuff like that, it's remarkable if you look back at that kind of context of the story and now what kind of season's unfolded. How do you describe the way this season has gone for Stafford, even when you've seen him do so many great things so far with this Rams side?
You know, he's had some great years in his handful in Los Angeles. One was Super Bowl worthy. The other was probably his finest season in terms of marrying aggressiveness and jaw-dropping throws with taking care of the football. But I think this is his signature campaign for a lot of the reasons you described. He didn't take a snap during training camp. It was all Jimmy Garoppolo while he tried for his back to unlock and get back on the field. I think the coolest thing about this season is that though they acquired Devontae Adams and while Puka Nacua has had an offensive player of the year caliber season, this is not the offense they were planning to run. They were not intending to get into two and three tight end sets. They've never done that under Sean McVay. And so mid-season in Camden Yards of all places, without Puka Nacua, as they prepare to fly across the pond to play in London against the Jaguars, they decide to lean into this alternative identity, and it's gangbusters. But you can't do that unless you have a cerebral, savvy, confident, swaggy quarterback who can pivot mid-season, mid-stride. And so for Stafford to not be feeling well during the summer and then put up these type of numbers, just video game numbers, to do it from under center, to do it really dyed-in-the-wool Sean McVay playbook style, I think he is the story of the 2025 NFL season more than any other individual. And because he's on the short list of statistical superlatives, I think that qualifies him for MVP votes and consideration, and maybe even should make him the front runner. But there's other good candidates out there, and it's a subjective award, so I don't have a vote. I'm not sure how it's going to shake out, but I'm happy for this. Matthew is, at worst, a second-team All-Pro. I think his Hall of Fame credentials are secured with this season, and he can leave no doubt if he lifts another Lombardi trophy.
Yeah, we ranked him on our show here. Number one quarterback I would trust with down four in the playoffs. Out of the whole field, I think that's the guy who would put the football in his hands in terms of it. And I'm sure I know you're hoping it's just easy Ram wins the rest of the way, right? It's not down four with 2 minutes each way it is. But maybe I'm sure you take thrill in that either way. But it's going to be a remarkable game for those who are going to be listening on Sunday, Saturday, tomorrow at 1 o'clock. JB, one more big thing for this game. What's one thing people aren't thinking about with this game tomorrow?
I would say it's the offensive line for the Carolina Panthers. They get Robert Hunt, their right guard, back. He's probably their best offensive lineman. They've got Cade Mays at center, did not play against the Rams the last time we were here. I think in terms of position groups that are the most improved over the course of the 2 months since these teams last collided, I think Carolina has an edge in that regard. And if there is a path to victory, it's running the football and protecting Bryce Young, and they have the dudes to do it. And so the Los Angeles Rams and their vaunted front four and their four-man pass rush, they need to look like they did the last time they played a wild card game. And if you recall, that was a 9-sack performance against Sam Darnold and the Minnesota Vikings.
Well, it would be a nice repeat of that if they are able to do it. JB, I appreciate it as always. Enjoy the game. Best of luck on the call. Safe travels wherever you're heading after that. And hopefully we're talking a little more this month about the Rams.
Good to reconnect with you, Phil. I know you got a lot of 49er faithful there in Fresno. And who knows, if things shake out the way that they might, could be back at SoFi Stadium against the Niners next week.
I would be there if that would be the case. So, all right. Sounds good, JB. We'll talk soon. See ya. All right. JB Long of the Rams, voice of the Rams, joining us here on 1430 ESPN. All right. Let's take a break. Let's wrap up the show next here on 1430 ESPN. Welcome back to Behind the Bench here on 1430 ESPN, Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader. Big thanks to JB Long for joining us in the last segment. JB Long, voice of the Rams, will be calling the game for ESPN LA. Reminder, here is your schedule moving forward. Peach Bowl tonight, 4 p.m. We'll be off there. Lakers-Bucks tonight as well over on 790. Central Valley Sports Report, Paul Matters, will have 10 a.m. to noon from First String Sports, 10 a.m. to noon tomorrow. Following him, Rams and Panthers. Following that, Bears and Packers. We'll have an FPU basketball doubleheader on a 790, starting at 1:45 against Westmont College. You'll have Sunday, the Jags and the Bills at 9 a.m. pregame. Niners and Eagles to follow. Chargers and Pats to follow that in a triple header on 1430. Over on 790, Sharks and Knights starting at 5 p.m. And then Monday, we'll be back with another edition of Behind the Bench. All right, Jorge, you ready to play a little game for the playoffs before we say goodbye for the weekend? I used to do this. I did this last year with Asa, and I forgot that we almost forgot to do it here. It's quite simple, Jorge. We have 7 picks each. We are going to pick playoff teams. And basically, it is whoever nails the Super Bowl champ wins.
It's right. We did this with, what else did we do this with? Baseball?
Maybe the baseball playoffs.
Might have been baseball.
We might have done it with the baseball playoffs, but we're going to do it with the NFL playoffs. I'm writing all the slats down right now.
You know what? We did it with NBA.
NBA playoffs. Yeah, that's good too. All right, Jorge. Do you want to flip a coin, or I'll let you go first if you want.
I'll go first.
First overall pick here. Who do you think is the most likely team in the playoffs? Most likely team in the playoffs to win a Super Bowl.
To win the Super Bowl.
Yep.
Let's go with the Bills.
You're picking the Bills.
Yes.
Number one overall, the six-seeded Bills. Wow, that says something about the playoffs, doesn't it? Why the Bills?
I just think that, you know, there's a lot of things that are happening that, you know, Allen had problems with that are not there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all his old, you know, just things that are like teams. And I just have a feeling that this Bills team is going to be better than what it was years before.
Yeah.
That experience of losing those games, that is coming in as an advantage.
Yeah. Okay. You got Bills here, number one. Now it's my turn for the number one overall pick. I think I'm going to go Seattle.
That's good. I thought about Seattle too.
I think I'm going to go Seattle simply for the fact that they have to play one less game than anybody else in the NFC. They have home field. The home field's ridiculous. Their defense is ridiculous. Sam Darnold's been legitimately good outside of the playoffs. We haven't seen him be good in the playoffs, so that's my only concern, but I think a defense can overcome that. And so win two at home and then go play. Oh, man, if you're a Niner fan and you think about Seattle winning a Super Bowl in your stadium, that's gotta feel not great, right?
Anybody winning a Super Bowl in the stadium is bad.
Yeah, not great. That's why I'm happy I'm a Patriots fan, because they'll never play a Super Bowl in New England for as long as I live. Anyways, all right, I got a pick here for my second overall pick, because we're going to sneak it, right? So I am going to pick the Rams. I'll just corner out that NFC West. Okay. The LA Rams at five seed. I'm going to pick them. I've been on them all year, and I still have faith that they're going to be able to get through it and win the Super Bowl in some form or fashion. All right, Jorge, what do you got? You got two picks in a row here.
I am going to go with I'll go with the Broncos.
Broncos, the one seed out of the AFC.
I like the Seahawks. They play one less. I think their defense is outstanding.
Okay.
And they've just been playing well. And I think Coach
Sean Payton. Yeah.
Is really, you know, it's on a groove.
Okay.
They're hot right now. So all right. I'm going to go Broncos.
Okay. You got one more pick here.
I'm going to take my Niners.
49ers.
Yeah, there we go.
Good riddance for me.
I think that if they are able to get over this Eagles team, they are, you know, I think it opens up a lot of possibilities of them going all the way.
They would have to go to Seattle, I imagine, unless you get Green Bay upsetting Chicago. If not, you're going to have them somewhere else. I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, I mean, if you gotta win.
You got to win. I got two picks in a row, and I'm very happy that two teams are available for me here. So I'm going to start with my New England Patriots. That feels great that I get to root for them and win a Super Bowl and all that. I was going to root for them anyway. But now in this little scheme of game, I just don't think I've seen a stinker performance from this team yet this year. With the current machination of it, they're getting healthier at the right time. And I know the inexperience is what is going
to
hit.
Even that loss to
Buffalo?
I was going to say Raiders.
We are light years away from that game. Like, so far away from that game, like, to qualify it. I'm not even counting it. So I'm taking the Patriots. They run the ball well. Relatively decent defense. Drake May. Anyways. And then my next pick, I'm picking the Jaguars. I think their defense is legit. They're very good at run defense. I think they can really dominate some teams. And Trevor Lawrence hasn't played bad in about 9 games in a row now for this Jaguar team. They've beaten the snot out of some good teams, including the Broncos, including the Chargers. So, very good. They've beaten the Niners earlier this year as well. I really believe Jacksonville has a real legitimate shot of making the Super Bowl, so I'm going to put them there at my number 4 slot. So now you got two in a row.
Was it two in a row or one?
Two in a row for you.
Oh, okay. Let's see who's left. Who's left?
You got the Panthers, the Packers, the Bears, the Eagles, the Texans, the Steelers, and the Chargers.
I'll take the Bears.
The Bears here at 4-0.
I think they got a legitimate chance. They've been playing well. Mm-hmm. I think that their quarterback is learning, but I mean, still, you know, fresh, but he's definitely got talent. And then I'll take the Steelers.
Wow. I am, Jorge, I'm telling you right now, I feel great about winning this. I cannot believe you let a team drop to me here. But okay, why the Steelers?
I think the Steelers, you know, the experience that Rodgers has, along with like their no quit spirit that they have, I think that's giving them a lot. But it just feels good, like what happened last week. I don't know if it was destiny.
Uh-huh.
I don't know what it was.
Okay,
but I think they're gonna do something.
All right, I will.
At least they got a chance.
I will gladly take the other team they're playing in their game. I'm going to take the Houston Texans. That defense, really legit. I think their offense, in terms of it. But like I said, defense wins championships, right, Jorge, in terms of it? And if you got a pass rush, it's the way it goes. So I'm picking Houston because they got an interesting path. The AFC is a little easier, so I'll go with them. I got four teams to just pick from now. And I think I gotta go. I guess I gotta go with the defending Super Bowl champs, the Philadelphia Eagles. I guess I gotta pick them, right, in terms of their championship pedigree. They've been there, done that. I think their path could be easier than most in terms of getting to a Super Bowl. And so I guess I'll go on the trust factor about that. So that's why I'm gonna go with Philly here. At my sixth overall, I can't believe I got them here. So, Jorge, you have to pick two of these next three teams, the Chargers, the Panthers, or the Packers. Who do you got?
I'll take the Chargers.
You're going to take the Chargers. Why the Chargers?
I trust in Harbaugh. I feel like they had a tough path to get to the Super Bowl, but
okay.
Much like the Niners, I think that they have a legitimate chance.
All right.
Then I'll pick. Oh, man.
Packers or Panthers?
I would go Packers.
Yeah, you got to go Packers.
Yeah. I mean, everybody's counting out the Panthers, but just because they were in like a horrible division that, you mm-hmm. know,
someone had to make
beat each other up.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'll take the Packers.
Okay. And I will take over the Panthers. I will not take the Panthers, but I will be gifted the Panthers in some form, whatever gift that means. So here we go. I feel great about my selections here. I have the Seahawks, the Rams, the Patriots, the Jaguars, the Texans, the Eagles, and the Panthers. And Jorge, you have the Bills, the Broncos, the 49ers, the Bears, the Steelers, the Chargers, the Packers. Pretty even across the board, NFC, AFC. Got representatives everywhere. We both each have a one seed, and may the best man win.
Yeah, I feel good about it.
There you go. What are we watching this weekend? We got a few more minutes before that. Jorge, what are you tuning in? I'm assuming it's just all football all weekend, or is there anything else you're tuning into this weekend?
Soccer starts back up. A lot of the La Liga, and there's the Mexican Soccer League starts too.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to watch those. I'm going to watch football. And I was going to watch something else, but I can't remember. I'll figure it out in front of the TV.
I got some football to watch for sure. I will have my Patriots playing right after your Niners. So stress beyond stress on Sunday for me and you. Watch the Sharks. That's all I want to say. Just this is my PSA to say, hey, watch Sharks hockey. They play tomorrow.
That's right. They're hot.
They play tomorrow against Dallas. That's a very good Dallas team. It is worth tuning into for the Sharks. They're not on 790 tomorrow because you have FPU basketball, unfortunately. So
sorry.
Right. Almost promo.
Almost.
But you have them Sunday. But we don't
have them Sunday, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So Sharks hockey. Fresno State Bulldogs on the road against San Diego State. Tomorrow as well. That's something to watch for as well. Bulldogs beating San Jose State. Let's shock the world. Let's go beat San Diego State Viejas.
Why not?
Tomorrow, right? That's my analysis. I don't got much more analysis than that, other than let's go beat them boys, right? In terms of it. Trying to think what else is out there in terms of that. I don't got much more on the weekend, just the NFL playoffs. Of course, what we got coming up right now, Indiana and Oregon. And Jorge, what quarterback you backing if I'm a Raider fan? If you're a Raider fan, you want Dante Moore or Fernando?
Ooh. Oh, man. I think I'll probably take Fernando.
Fernando.
He's got more experience. Well, they're both, what, 6 years, right?
Fernando screams to me like Kirk Cousins. He's very Kirk Cousins to me. Just the way he interviews, the way he like looks into the camera, you know? I remember being in news, and I remember talking to people, and they tried to look in the camera every time I did an interview. I'm like, no, don't look. Look at me. I had to like tell them, like, don't look at the camera. It's so unsettling for you to just stare dead into the camera like that. And that's what they tell you in news. You don't look in the camera. You got to look at the reporter. It creates more less unsettling feel when you're watching television. Anyways, Jorge, best of luck with your Niners.
Best of luck with your Patriots.
Yep, and we will be back Monday for another edition. Coming up next, Indiana, Oregon from Atlanta.